Hey, Pubcasters, hard to believe we are closing out our year. But never fear, we have a fantastic episode for you. In the hot seat is songwriter, artist, producer, and podcaster Troy Cartwright. He gives us some great insight on how to navigate the twists and turns of this crazy music business. Hey, welcome back, AIMP Pubcast listeners. It is the AIMP Nashville Pubcast, and this is your host, Tim Hunzi, and I am sitting with a good friend, an amazingly talented songwriter, artist, producer, and now podcaster, Troy Cartwright. Troy, how do you even have time to even do anything with all these titles you have in your name?
That's a great question.
I should have a disclaimer that you're also one of my writers here at Big Machine Music Group. So I really want a real answer to that question.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I'm just demurring a little bit here. There's a lot of hours in a day, more than you think.
This is what I tell anybody. If when you have multiple things you do, that you can find time if you prioritize, right?
Yeah. I don't have much time for anything else. I can tell you that.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I'm sure your wife appreciates that. Well, dude, let's just jump in, man. For those that may not know you, you want to throw a little quick bio together? Like, how did you get here sitting across from me talking on a podcast?
Yeah, I have been in Nashville since 2016. I played music my whole life. And I guess I kind of started out in the Texas scene playing bars and stuff like that. And then I had a radio promoter introduce me to a guy by the name of Jake Gear one time, and he set me up on a couple co-writes, and I came up to Nashville and I was like, what is this what is this magical situation co-writing? I'd never co-written before. I'd never really been to Nashville, so I kind of came on it, I don't know, let's say later than most. I just literally didn't know it existed. And then I moved up here about as quick as I could after that. And then have just, yeah, as you alluded to earlier, just completely, I got a lot of irons in the fire now at this point and do a lot of different stuff. But I always think of myself as a songwriter and an artist first.
Well, yeah. Man, one of the things I wanted to get into on this podcast, because our audience is, you know, a lot of upcoming writers, a lot of people new coming into the business, a lot of students, you know, it's a lot of interest there on, you've had a journey. We'll say you've learned from the school of hard knocks, as we like to say. Explain to us as an artist that's come to town, because you've had the major deal. You're now an independent artist. Let's talk about that journey. What was it like when you came to town? How quick did you get your deal? And maybe lead into, like, give some background on how that came together for you. And then we'll talk about that process into how you got to be independent.
Yeah, I moved to town, like I said, in like 2016 or something like that. I had taken a few publisher meetings. I'd kind of been doing that dance, but again, like, I didn't know anybody. So everything was just super new and I didn't even really know, like, which rocks to look under, you know. I remember I kind of got my first publishing deal offer, and then at that point my attorney was able to kind of shop it around, I guess, you know, and once you got one offer on the table, you know how it is. Everyone's like, "Oh, well, who's this guy?" So I actually, you know, somehow found the patience to not just sign the first deal that I had in front of me. And I waited for another 3 or 4 months and then ended up going to Warner Chappell. And by that point, I had met Stephanie Davenport, who's an A&R person over at Warner. And I think, you know, they were probably more interested than I realized at the time about signing me to a record deal, because I had some stuff going on in Texas. And I guess had a, you know, a sound people were into or whatever. And I had this song called Hung Up on You that was just a demo at the time, but everyone seemed really excited about. So that was, kind of how I got on everybody's radar initially.
So I'm sure right when you got your, cause you got them both kind of in tandem, your record deal, your publishing deal, you probably started what I call a round robin of Music Row. Like, you had a lot of first dates. They were starting to put you in rooms to kind of write some more for your record. Do you have any advice on any artist that's coming to town on how to approach that? Because I know it's a lot, and I do it as a publisher, but I'd love to hear your take as a writer, artist. Like, what advice do you give anybody that's going through that process, or what can they expect going through that process as you kind of build out your songwriting tribe?
Yeah, I think you're going to, a couple things happen. The first thing is, like, you're going to find your lifers, like your friends for life, your writers for life. And those are probably the most important relationships that you're going to make along the way. And you're probably not even going to realize it at the time, you know, but the people that are in the same place as you that are like, hey, let's go, you know, grab a beer at Red Door or whatever, that you really build a relationship with are actually the people that you're going to be on this ride with, which you don't really realize at the time. Cause you're also writing. When you first get signed as an artist, right, they're going to put you in the room with these really big writers. And so my other piece of advice would be, like, just realize that you got to be as ready as you can be for those writes, because a lot of times you're going to do them one time. You may never write with, you know, Josh Osborne ever again. So you better make sure that you're at the very least, you know, not hungover for your write with this massive hit songwriter, you know? But I think when you're going through it, right, you just think it's all going to go on forever. And some of those writes do. Some of those writes become regulars, but, you know, some of them don't. And I wouldn't have done any of this any differently because I wouldn't know what I know now. But, you know, it's like, especially now, I do try and treat every write as, like, you know, it's precious, and try and give it all of the respect that it deserves.
Getting back to the label side of life. So yeah, you're out there writing songs, you've got your record deal, and you gotta, in your mind, give some advice on what that was like, or your experience, I guess, of going into your label, yeah, trying to sell them on you and the songs you're writing and your project. Cause as you mentioned, this take time. Let's talk about specifically what that means to you. Like, what was that process when you're on a major and, you know, you got to meet with your A&R people, you got to meet with marketing. Like, how did you keep that ball rolling or try to keep your career moving forward?
Well, I think the hardest part is, like, you know, you feel like you always got to be super positive and like, I think early on in my journey, I didn't really ever question anything just because I didn't think I was supposed to. And so it's not that you know better or that they don't know anything. Like, I don't think it's right to characterize it in that terms, but I do think that it is really important as a new artist to make sure you're very clear about who you want to be and trying to explain that to them as best you can. And sometimes you might have to explain it a few times, because what will happen is if you don't say anything, it will kind of default towards the middle just naturally with the marketing, with the branding, because, like, it's like, okay, well, this works, so let's try it this way. And, you know, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. Like, it works for a reason, but if you have a slightly different take on that, you know, I think you just have to be consistent about trying to highlight what that is. And it's really easy as a new artist to just sort of get lost. You get a lot of cooks in the kitchen, and I can certainly speak to my own personal experience. Like, it really made my, you know, my head spin about, like, well, okay, what am I supposed to be doing? Or what, you know, what is it supposed to sound like? Or it all, like, especially at the beginning, like, it all actually matters a great deal. And that like, it kind of sucks to hear, but it's like, it really matters a lot. It's pretty important to, like, be clear about who you want to be.
You're now writing with people, building friendships on people that want to get on your record, and they obviously, yeah, are going to have opinions. And then your friend at the bar you're having drinks with, they're going to have opinions. Help us navigate. How did you keep your true north with all the opinions coming at you?
Yeah, I mean, like, that's, I think I got lost in there, you know, and it's hard. Once you're lost, man, like, that clock's ticking. It's hard to find your way out. And that's nobody's fault, but your own at the end of the day, right? I mean, you like to think like, oh, well, this person at the label really upset me today or whatever. It's like, man, everybody's just trying to do their job, and you know, it's a business, right? It's not, you know, we care about each other, but you know, we gotta take care of business first. And that's just part of it. So I think, you know, with hindsight, like, yeah, it's making sure that the songs are making you feel something. I think that's the first step. And then I also think, like, you don't need to overstate, like, it's okay to not know where to go or what the song, you know, what the song should sound like. Like, I think we're expecting too much of our young artists to like have it all figured out, you know? So I don't know exactly how to sort it out, but I do think that, like, talking about being independent now, like, I've had a lot of career success being independent. And I think part of that has just been having a lot more kind of at bats to like figure out what types of songs work. You know, and that's not something that a label can always afford to do, with timing and budgets and things like that.
Love it. You had your major deal. Let's talk about the departure of said major deal. Like, if you're in this long enough and you're an artist, there's going to be a possible separation. Like, how did you face that reality, and how did you get yourself through it emotionally to start off in your next journey, which we'll talk, your next chapter, which we'll get into after this?
Sure. Well, I mean, yeah, it sucked. It was not fun. And it was a big surprise to me, because I had just made this record and it was not even out yet. So it was very, like, you know, painful, obviously, to like basically be told, like, hey, like, I know you just did this record, but we don't think it's going to work. So we're going to put it out. But if it doesn't blow up, we're done. So, ooh. Yeah, I mean, ooh. You know, there's no
pressure.
Yeah. Well, and like, you know, at that time, this was like early days of TikTok and stuff. So there were no levers to pull yet, you know. I kind of knew what was going to happen at that point. And yeah, man, I mean, look, there's no way around it. Like, it was really painful. And I think parts of leaving were very disappointing to me, from just like, you anticipate that people are, I think on a basic level, we're all human. So even when faced with news that isn't great, like, you still try and be a human about it. And that was didn't always feel like the case with my situation, but you know, life goes on, time goes on, and we're all friends now. So I guess it all kind of came out in the wash in the end. You know, every situation is different, but I do think that in my case, whether, I'm sure it was not intentional on their side, but like, it did end up being like the best thing for me and for my career. Like, my career actually really took off after being freed from those kind of release constraints. And that was, you know, that's been a really fun ride. And I wouldn't have been able to go on this ride without the other really painful stuff happening.
You are now your own label, and you put out your own music, and you're being a very successful songwriter with getting cuts and activity. But like, talk about, like, you obviously had to take some time to reprocess. How quickly did you jump into like, all right, I'm just going to get my own music, and walk through the business mind? Because I think you're really smart and tactile on how you do things and strategic. Talk about what that looked like for you, and how you started going into your own, releasing your own music, and what that was like.
Yeah, well, I kind of knew that I was leaving the label in like probably September of 21, but I don't think it was public knowledge till, you know, earlier on in 2022. And so by that point, I'd kind of had a few months of my own to process it. I didn't talk about it to really anybody except for my wife, just because I didn't know what was going to happen. And then I really just started kind of leaning into like this new thing called TikTok. And I was like, I'm not like a look at my camera and sing kind of guy, but I was like, I guess if I want to play this game, I'm going to have to figure this game out. So I just started doing it and just kind of getting over myself a little bit, you know, and trying to be the coolest guy in the world and all this stuff, and just started posting songs online. I got really lucky, and kind of right as I was finishing up some of the contract stuff to get out of my deal, like I, you know, had this song start to take off, and then I got out of my deal, and then I think that song came out like 9 days later. You know, you talk about the business, like it was with my homies, so I just paid them for the song and gave them a nice back end split, and it made money the third day it was out, which is pretty remarkable. And I have since gone on to sort of repeat that business model of paying. I just pay for everything myself, and then I put it out. And some songs take 3 days to make their money back, and some songs take 6 months or a year. But I really like try and think of it as like, you know, a business, and I gotta keep putting product out on the market. And I think, you know, along the way, like I'm constantly readjusting and trying to figure out like, okay, what does it mean to be an artist versus like a guy selling songs, selling like commodities? Like people, you know, I guess ask me about cohesiveness and stuff like that. And like, it's just always hard to keep track. But I think ultimately my North Star is like, is this song making people feel something? And if it is, and it's reacting, like I want to put that song out. I'm always proud to put a song out that I know is like, you know, going to make people feel something. I think that's why I got into this thing in the first place.
Hey man, I think you're doing it well. And you're also, because of your, you know, time as an artist and continue to be an artist, but being on a label and having friends with it are artists, and continuing to just be an amazing songwriter. Like I will lead into that part now, is that you've had three major label cuts. We're going to be vague on that because they're not released yet, and I don't want to jinx anything for you. Sure. Believe in the music road jinx, but well, I mean, we've only been working together a little over a year, and you have seen that. What was that like for you? Let's talk about that process too, because prior to prior deal, publishing deal, that is, you were mostly focused on yourself. But as stated, when we picked you up over here at Big Machine, we were like, look, dude, you can do this. You can be a hit writer, which I don't think you didn't think of. But there was definitely, and still is, an intentional focus on, we're going to get more cuts. And that's obviously working pretty well so far. But talk about what that was like for you as well, to like, how's that a shift in your own head of like, what's it like now being going in these rooms and differentiating Troy Cartwright artist, Troy Cartwright songwriter?
Yeah. Well, the line is blurry, of course. But I never go into a room and think like, oh, I'm going to write a song for, I don't know, Blake Shelton today. Like that's never been my, that works for some people. It's never worked for me. So I just try and approach everything like as if I am the artist that is going to sing it. And I think, you know, I try and use my skill sets to help write the best song possible, which, you know, is hopefully like cool melodies and dope lyrics. But I also think like part of what helps sell my songs, sell the demos, is my voice, my singing voice. I can have a distinct singing style that hopefully people think is cool. And so I think just kind of, you know, coming over to Big Machine for publishing and kind of working, you know, with like a, I would say like it's a much more dedicated team than I had at, you know, my previous publisher, which is like, it's just a different thing, man. It's a different type of company. And I know that if I write a great song, that it can get heard by the right people. And so just kind of that mindset shift of realizing like, oh, like, okay, this song is great. I bet we can get it cut. I bet, you know, whatever, this would be a great, I'm making it up, but this would be a great Kenny Chesney song. Like I know that it's possible now to like get it somewhere in that camp where they can hear it, you know? And that's very freeing, I think, because I didn't always, you know, everything I was writing previously was kind of for me as like an artist, and that was great. But I got more songs than I could ever cut. You know, if you're writing 4 songs a week, you're not going to release 4 songs a week. It's just not gonna happen that way.
Your life is always interesting. When we were talking about your deal, you'd mentioned way back, and we'll get into this. You know, like, hey, man, I just want to let you know there's this kid. He kind of covered one of my songs. I think he's got a cool voice. I'm just going to try to help him not make some of the same mistakes. And at the time, you were very vague. You didn't know what that was going to look like, but you wrote some songs with him, and you ended up producing some sides on him. And now this kid's got a record deal. His name's Dipper. We can say that. Let's talk about that. You've now become a producer. That was kind of accidental, right? Or is it something you thought you would do down the road? Like, walk through that process.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was a very pure thing. I literally just saw this kid on the internet and was like, I don't know, he's got something. And today I got time. So I was like, come up to Nashville. And he said, yeah. And then we wrote some songs, and I just kind of plugged them into my songwriting network and, you know, convinced Brad Clausen to take a chance on writing with him. And me and my guitar player and my band, Ben, ended up producing some sides. And that started off that there was no like, oh, we're producing, like we're big time producers or something. It was just, hey, these songs need to get demoed, and we don't have any money, so I guess we'll just have to do them. And then, you know, we did this song called She's Got Wings, and it really it made people excited. So that was kind of wild to see the town, to see Nashville get really excited about something that I was a part of. It's been a fun ride, man. You're just kind of trying to hang on. And I would not, like, I don't know how I could have planned for that, right? You know, it just sort of happened. But I think the most fun things are the things that just sort of happened. It was so like organic and natural the way that it all kind of worked out. So I enjoyed it.
I think it's great when we as an industry, we're such a community, we talk about it a lot, but you gave somebody an opportunity because you've been given opportunities and gave back, invested not only your time, a little bit of money to help make that happen. And kudos to you. And I think it turned out great. And obviously it's opened up another lane. Just so people are aware, Troy has been calling his record his super secret project, and I don't know anything about it, but I'm looking forward to hearing him. We'll play it for me.
it's going to have a lot of time invested into it. So I hope that means that it's great, but we'll have to see.
Well, I love it. And then, you know, last but not least, man, you're a man of brands, and suddenly you have quite a upcoming podcast going on, 10 Year Town. So like, okay, like you needed more shit in your life, Troy. So like, why? That's what will be my question. Why a podcast? What made you decide that this is something you need to do? Because that's also a lot of work.
Yeah, it is a lot of work. If I would have known how much work it was, I probably wouldn't have done it. But it's same reason I do anything else, because I wanted to, because I believed that there was a place for this in podcasting, for like songwriters kind of talking to other songwriters. And I felt like I could do a good job. I felt like I had a unique skill set, both as an interviewer and with my understanding of how content is working these days, that a podcast would help me and like would work. And I also felt like it was going to free me from this sort of like, you know, being an artist in 2023 is a lot of content creation, and it's really exhausting, and it's really mentally taxing. It's easy to get burnt out, like, oh, I got to make a TikTok today. So I felt like podcasting was going to like be an option to create a lot more content with like not having to, you know, doing this podcast like definitely fills my cup up. It does not drain it. So I tell my wife all the time, this sets my soul on fire. doing the podcast, and I'm trying to do more things that set my soul on fire as often as I can.
Awesome. So, Troy, do you have any parting words of advice? Any parting words of wisdom?
I mean, it's very cliche, but there's a lot of advice I would give that I don't think people will listen to because you kind of have to go through it. The one piece of advice that I think everyone can take to heart is like, if you want to do this, like, just like, don't give up. Like, you got to, even when you look, like, when I found out I was getting dropped from my major label deal and I was going to lose my publishing deal and I was, you know, 31 years old, like, it would have been pretty easy to go, okay, maybe it's time to go sell insurance or something. But I love this. I love Nashville. I love this community. And I was like, all right, I can do this. This is going to be fine. And, you know, sure, it took a little time to have a few sad days, but ultimately it was like, all right, just got to get back on the horse. And, you know, my life has changed so much for the better. So if you want to do this, just like truly, like, keep going, don't give up. Like, you will be surprised with the results as long as you stick with it.
The AIMP Nashville Pubcast is hosted by yours truly, Tim Hunzi. Producer, Brandon Harrington. Mixing and editing by Casey Porter. And this has been a Dime Collective production.